Ask the Governor with Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards. It's your chance to speak with Governor Edwards and ask questions that are important to you. The phone number is 877-217-5757. This is Ask the Governor on the Louisiana Radio Network.
And thank you, Michelle Southern. I'm Jim Inkster, your moderator. And if you'd like to pose a question to the governor on Thanksgiving Eve, this is an opportunity. Your number, again, is 877-217-5757. This is show number 20. The governor's done this for 20 consecutive months, so he's been in office now for a year and 10 months, and he is here to answer any inquiries you have. 877-217-5757. And good afternoon to you, Governor. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much, and also to the listeners out there. I'm hoping that they and their families will have a wonderful Thanksgiving and take times to return thanks, because certainly from my perspective anyway, we're fortunate enough to live in the very best state in the very best country in mm-hmm. history of our world, and that's certainly something to be thankful for.
How will you be celebrating the holiday?
Well, I, as you can gather from my dress, as soon as this is over, I'm headed to Mississippi to my in-laws, and we're going to spend the night there and have lunch tomorrow, and then we'll be back tomorrow night, and my family, the Edwards family, right, will come over here to Baton Rouge to the governor's mansion on Sunday.
Very good.
And in between those two events, I'm going to watch LSU beat Texas A&M. Well, that's how I'm going to celebrate.
Well, that game, I think that's on Saturday. So
that's on Saturday, but I'm not having lunch with my family until Sunday.
Okay, so there you go. So you're going to spend some time in Mississippi, and you've been doing some traveling. Since we last joined you, you've been all over the place, including a jaunt out of the country.
I did. Well, if Puerto Rico counts as out of the country, it is a territory.
It is a territory.
And, you know, I'm a little bit concerned that there's a lot of folks who don't seem to realize that Puerto Rico is a territory and that those are American citizens, because I've actually had people ask me, why would you go try to help those people, you know, when in the face of this storm when we have our own citizens? Well, they are our citizens, but I was invited by the governor there, Governor Ricardo Rosello, and he asked me to come out, and I was happy to do it. We spent about a day and a half there, but we had 360 National Guardsmen, mostly engineers and MPs, but also some Air National Guardsmen who were doing air traffic control work over there. And they did an awful lot of good work, and I was able to go over there and spend some time with them as well. It was a good trip.
And some might think your trip to Harvard was out of the country, too.
Well, that was a new experience for me. But I was invited to be a guest lecturer for a political science class at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. And Juliet Kayyem was the professor. And I had a really good time in doing that as well. And a lot of very smart people in that classroom, obviously. But we had a good exchange and asked a lot of questions. I was happy to be able to go up there.
And last week, you went to Knoxville, Tennessee, I understand.
I did. I was there on Saturday night, and that's my second time. The first time I went was 31 years ago. Army played at Tennessee, and it was the one trip I made that semester, and I went down to Tennessee. We were about 4-touchdown underdogs, but we won the game. We blocked the punt in the fourth quarter and won that game, and I'll never forget that. And, of course, we went back Saturday night, and I saw the strongest – winds and rain that I have ever seen at a football game. And, of course, the LSU Tigers were victorious, so that, too, was a great trip.
Well, and as mentioned, LSU plays Saturday at home against Texas A&M in the regular season finale. How about the Saints?
The Saints are obviously playing extremely well. I think they've won 8 in a row now, and I was fortunate enough to be at that game on Sunday with very little sleep. Came home from Tennessee, went to the Saints game, and thoroughly enjoyed that, and that's the biggest fourth quarter comeback in Saints history, I believe, which obviously is exciting. I'll tell you another football story that I've got coming up is the starting quarterback for Texas A&M is the son of a West Point roommate of mine and really? one of my best friends, and so he and I will be going to the game on Saturday, but I just don't believe I can not pull for the Tigers pretty vociferously,
so we're
going to see how that works out.
All right, 877-217-5757 as we move along this hour with Governor John Bel Edwards. We start in a meet. Randall, in a meet, you're on the air with Governor John Bel Edwards. Hi, Randall.
Hi, Governor Edwards.
Hi, Randall.
I just wanted to say Happy Thanksgiving, first off, and I wanted to say on behalf of my family that You're doing a great job with the state economy. My father is a lifelong Republican. He cried when Reagan had to leave office. I myself am a Democrat, so you pretty much had my vote in the last election. But he praises you, my father does, all the time, even as a Republican, because he thinks that you're doing a great job. And that's it. That's all I wanted to say. No question.
Well, Randall, thank you very much, and I appreciate your call. I want to wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving, and calling from my hometown. And I'm going to be scratching my head for the rest of the day trying to figure out exactly what family you come from, because I know just about everybody there. But thank you so much, and tell your dad I said happy Thanksgiving as well.
Well, I appreciate it, Randall. Today is the 54th anniversary of the death of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I was a little boy. You were not born yet, but I'm sure as a young man you became quite familiar with the 35th American president.
Well, I did, and I remember watching the movie PT-109 when I was young.
Cliff Robertson.
And of course, that was a story about him and what he did in the Navy in the Second World War, and you know that's how I came to really appreciate him. And then of course I studied. He wasn't president for very long in the grand scheme of things.
A thousand days. Yeah.
But they were very momentous days, and the. You know, issues related to Berlin, Germany, and to the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, all of the things that were going on, starting in Vietnam. I've always kind of been fascinated with the whole Kennedy family and their contributions and their service over the years.
877-217-5757 for Governor John Bel Edwards. James in Longview, Texas. Hi, James.
Hi there, Jim, and hi there, Governor Edwards, and I want to wish you both a happy Thanksgiving also.
Thank you. Same to you.
Anyhow, I had a question along the lines of a policy that President John F. Kennedy had. Incidentally, I was born 3 weeks after that assassination. I was born in December 63, so I do admire the president very much, and my folks thought highly of him. Anyhow, basically, I think the Cuban embargo was necessary in President Kennedy's time, but I am supportive of loosening it up, and I think I read about your trip recently to various Louisiana farms and hearing concerns from citizens. I was just wondering your thoughts on the importance of maintaining contact with Cuba in hope of enabling future trade between Louisiana and Cuba, I think.
Okay, we do have to take a break, but thank you for your call, James, and we'll get the governor's take on his three-day ag tour in various parts of the state with Secretary of Agriculture Mike Strain, and also whether or not Cuba is a burgeoning market for Louisiana. 877-217-5757. We're back after this quick timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Ask the Governor on many stations across Louisiana. And if you'd like to join the governor on Thanksgiving Eve, we're here for you. He is here to answer your calls, 877-217-5757. And before we went to the break, James in Longview, Texas asked about Cuba as a potential market with things changing. And of course, the last two presidents have had different views on Cuba, but is that a potential windfall for Louisiana, that market?
Well, it is potentially going to be a very valuable trading partner for Louisiana, and because it was. Historically, we have that relationship with Cuba, given the proximity, for example, of the ports in South Louisiana, all the way from Baton Rouge down through the port of South Louisiana and New Orleans and so forth, and their demand for agricultural products. You know, for right now, for example, they buy more than, I think it's more than $100 million a year rice that comes from Vietnam. It takes more than 30 days by vessel to get it there. It's inferior rice. They would much rather buy ours. We'd much rather sell it, but we don't have that opportunity because of some of the restrictions. And we actually went to Cuba a little over a year ago. Commissioner Mike Strain and I went down, and we signed some MOUs between the ports, between the universities, and also between the Ag and Forestry Commission and their Minister of Agriculture. We haven't been able to deliver as much as we would like because of the change in administrations, mm-hmm. but I think, you know, that in the long term, we're going to have that relationship with Cuba. It's a question of time, you know, as the leaders from the revolutionary days in Cuba die off and younger people ascend into power and we just get further removed from what happened there in the late 50s, early 60s. I just think that those opportunities are going to be there for us.
And you and Commissioner Strain also hit the road and traveled to several places in Louisiana over the last week or so.
We did. We spent about three full days together last week in every corner of the state, meeting with folks in agriculture and forestry. And I want to thank Commissioner Strain for doing that and Renee Simone out of his office who organized it. Mm-hmm. But to give us an opportunity to meet with farmers all over the state to hear what is of concern to them. Some of them were federal issues and some were state issues and so forth. But I know that I learned an awful lot from being out and talking to them. And I can tell you I have a deep appreciation for the folks involved in agriculture in Louisiana. And they do a tremendous job.
Tony in New Orleans. Hi, Tony. You're on Ask the Governor with Governor John Bel Edwards.
Hey, good afternoon, David. Happy Thanksgiving to you. I had a question about the pet tax bill that I guess is in the Senate now. And I'm just wondering about overall the effect on the people of Louisiana if that bill gets passed in sort of its current form.
Tony, I appreciate the question, and I am not able to respond the way that I probably should or you would want me to. I know that that every time I see a report, it seems like there are different assessments about the bill and if it were enacted as it currently is, whether it would really be a tax cut or a tax increase for people. You know, I saw something the other day, people making from between $10,000 and $50,000 a year might actually see an increase. Some middle-class people, defined as up to $200,000, might see an increase while most would see a decrease, and I think it all depends on whether how you make your income and whether you own a home and what your tax liabilities are for your property taxes and so forth. So I really can't comment on it. I can tell you that whatever Congress does has a direct effect here, obviously not just on the individuals but upon our state. One is because we have the FIT for both individuals and for corporations, and so the smaller the federal tax bill, the less that deduction is worth, and the more revenue we get in Louisiana. But I do want to take just a moment and thank Senator Cassidy, because I know he included two items in that bill that's pending in the Senate that will give relief to Louisianans impacted by the flood in August of 2016. One is $200 million. It will allow individuals to deduct from their income tax liability flood losses that exceed $500 from that flood. And so that's extremely important, and I do hope that that survives and makes it into the final bill if they were to pass something.
877-217-5757 is your number for Governor John Bel Edwards. David in Baton Rouge. Hi, David. You're on the air with Governor Edwards.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, David.
Yes, David.
Hey, Governor. I just wanted to say thank you so much for your strong support for medical marijuana efforts in the state, and hope that you will help us continue in that regard for the 2018 session. And also wanted to get your thoughts on industrial hemp, see if you have any interest in supporting our efforts at joining the 13 or more states that are allowing research into industrial hemp.
The second one first, industrial hemp. I don't know enough about that to respond. But it's something that I would certainly be happy to take a look at. I do know that there are some states looking at it as a source of fiber. I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of demand for hemp anymore as it relates to use as some sort of a drug or whatever. But on the medical marijuana side, I am committed to making that work. It just breaks my heart, especially to see children, young children with seizure disorders, and the choices that those parents have had. By and large, have been limited to either stay here and let your child suffer or move out of state and take advantage of their laws. So we're very hopeful that over the coming months you're going to see some real progress on the availability of medical marijuana here in Louisiana, you know, when prescribed by a physician. And, of course, we're going to be very careful how we monitor and regulate that.
There was a significant announcement in New Orleans since your last show regarding a major economic initiative. What's going on with that project?
Well, first of all, we're very proud of that. It is the largest economic development win in the state's history as it relates to permanent direct jobs at one site. We're talking about 2,000 jobs in the Central Business District of New Orleans, and that is a huge number. Another 2,200 or so indirect jobs, and so we're excited. These are clean jobs. These are IT jobs. The company that is coming to New Orleans. DXC Technology is already a Fortune 250. It's got 6,000 clients in over 50 countries around the world, and those clients are both public and private. But they're going to add 2,000 jobs. The average salary is going to be over $63,000, plus benefits. And the state of Louisiana is going to invest in our higher education institutions in order to make sure that we can have the trained, educated talent pipeline that they need to be successful. And, you know, and personally negotiating with them and meeting with them over the last year or so, it was our commitment to higher education that was the biggest selling point. And the number one workforce training program of its kind in the country, Fast Start. And those things really impressed the folks at DXC Technology. And we're happy to have them in New Orleans, and we think they're going to be a great partner for many, many years to come.
And in New Orleans this weekend, the marquee event will be the annual Bayou Classic.
Yeah, I am looking very much forward to going down on Saturday morning and participating in the brunch there and visiting with all my friends from Grambling and Southern and all the fans from around the state and really from around the country. There are people who come back to New Orleans from all over the country for that event every year. And so I'll be down for the brunch on Saturday and very much looking forward to that.
You're listening to Governor John Bel Edwards. The number is 877-217-5757. Toll free wherever you are. And he's here to talk about anything on your mind pertinent to Louisiana on the 20th program that he has done since he was elected governor 2 years ago. In fact, I think yesterday was the two-year anniversary. You remember that night pretty well, don't you?
I do remember that night, and it's a bit of a blur because so much happened so quickly that day, but I will certainly never forget that. I'm very thankful to be the governor of our great state, and it's a real honor and privilege for me to serve in this capacity, and that'll be one of the things that I give thanks for tomorrow.
All right. And there was an election last Saturday. Unfortunately, only about 12.5% of the electorate cast ballots, but there is a new state treasurer, a man you know well, served in the House with, who's from a neighboring area and also an Army veteran, John Schroeder.
Yeah, John and I have known one another for about a decade. He went to Southeastern. He's also a law enforcement officer in his past as well. And we served together in the House for 8 years, and then earlier this year he resigned in order to run for the treasurer's position. So I'm looking forward to working with John. I called him the other night and didn't get him, but I left a message, and I know what that's like. You get hundreds of calls in quick succession.
I think I'd take one from the governor, but the two of you are from different parties with different philosophies, and the previous treasurer, and you had locked horns a few times. Does that mean a lot, or is that just part of the process?
Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm obviously a Democrat as governor, and I have excellent personal working relationship with many Republicans, including other statewide elected officials. And so it's my hope and expectation that that'll be the case with John Schroeder as well.
And a new member of the state House, Mark Wright, yeah, defeating Rob Manus. That was a lively race.
Well, it was, and it got very interesting over the last week or so. It was. And congratulations to Mark, and I know that he's looking forward to serving. You know, I'm really disappointed in the voter turnout, though. I mean, it was so low across the state, even in those areas where you had a race like New Orleans mayor. I mean, obviously they had a bigger turnout there than elsewhere, but still very small for something as significant as mayor. And then the representative district where Representative-elect Mark Wright won, that turnout was not very much. But in the rest of the state, it was absolutely anemic.
LaToya Cantrell wins the New Orleans mayor's race, and that means there are now three African-American female Democratic mayors in Shreveport, Baton Rouge, New Orleans.
Yeah, and she is the first lady ever elected mayor in New Orleans, so that was historic, and she and I were able to have a good conversation Saturday night while I was actually leaving the stadium in Tennessee, and I look forward to working with her. It's going to be very strange for her because she gets a long transition. She doesn't become mayor until May, and so she gets plenty of time in order to—
Maybe too long.
Well, perhaps, but she gets to work with the current mayor, Mayor Landrieu, and has some time to really figure out which of his individuals she'd like to keep and who she wants to bring into the administration and how to pursue which policies, you know, in order of priority. So she's got a real opportunity there, and I look forward to working with her to serve the people of New Orleans.
Well, LaToya Cantrell succeeds Mitch Landrieu, who has served two terms. Governor's office obviously has term limits as well. We don't have it, or we do have it for the legislature, but at one time we didn't. Do you think it's done well as far as how our legislature works, having term with three terms?
Well, I'd be very honest with you. I'm not in favor of term limits, and not so much as it relates to the governor's office. I think those are fine, but elsewhere in state government and local government, you have term limits, and they're 4 years. And at the end of that term, you either get reelected or you don't. We know that the people know how to vote out an incumbent if that's what they want to do. So I've never been one to support artificial term limits, saying that after two or three terms you've got to sit out or whatever. And I think they deprive people of a choice that many people want to make. And so in that sense, they're anti-democratic, you know, with a small d. But obviously there's people who feel differently than I do about that topic. And certainly we have the term limits in place. And as a result of term limits, you're going to see in the House of Representatives after the 2019 more than 50 new members. I don't know the exact number, but it's a lot.
When you came in, there were more than 60.
More than 60. And I'm just not sure that level of turnover every three terms is healthy.
877-217-5757. We will return to the phone lines with Governor John Bel Edwards. Thank you for listening. Hope you're having a good Thanksgiving Eve. And once again, the number is 877-217-5757. We're back after this brief pause on our stations across the great state of Louisiana, and we'll hear more from John Bel Edwards on show number 20 of Ask the Governor. Jim Inkster, thank you for joining us for Ask the Governor with Governor John Bel Edwards, his 20th show, and we look forward to taking your calls as we move along. Another half hour to go, 877-217-5757. Cliff in New Orleans. Hello, Cliff. You're on with Governor Edwards.
Hello, Governor Edwards.
Hi, Cliff.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you. Thank you.
I'd like to heighten your awareness of what I think is a really nationwide problem, and it's with mental health issues. I recently lost a friend who overdosed, and yet she was aware that she was spiraling out of control. She actually went to a hospital in the New Orleans area. They took care of her. They said, we can't keep you here. And then she went to proceed to go to a psychiatric place in the New Orleans area, and I'm specifically not naming names. She did that. And the place that she wanted to go, unfortunately, didn't have enough beds, so she got turned away. Because of that, she went home, and a couple of days later, took too much of medication or pills, and unfortunately, slipped away.
Well, as far as the issue, is it an important one as far as being on the front burner?
Well, certainly it's important, and Cliff, I'm sorry that happened, obviously, and I know that had to be a terrible loss for you. One of the things we have to do, generally speaking, is destigmatize mental illness. Any family of any size has someone, at least one member, with mental illness, and we've got to get to a point where we can talk about it openly and honestly, and just like we talk about diabetes or hypertension. That's part of what we have to do, and I think Cliff is right. We don't have enough inpatient beds, and we don't have them where we need them, for sure. We've got to work on that, and we did submit a waiver to the Health and Human Services in Washington after President Trump declared a public health emergency over opioids, because we had some very artificial restrictions about allowing individuals to be hospitalized inpatient for as long as they need to be if they had both mental illness and substance abuse issues, which most people do. It's not something that you have one but not the other. And so we're looking for some additional flexibility there. I can tell you that since we've expanded Medicaid among the expansion population, there have been 37,400 adults who've received specialized outpatient mental health services. Another 7,300 inpatient. That's on the mental health side. On the substance abuse side, 6,600 outpatient and 7,200 residential inpatient services. So we think that those things are helping. I'm certainly not of the mindset that we've done all that we can or should do, and we're continuing to work on that. And it's something that Secretary Gee, who runs the Department of Health, and I talk about very often.
Thank you, Cliff. We go back to New Orleans, and this call is from Mike in New Orleans. Hello, Mike. You're on with Governor John Bel Edwards.
Hey, Governor. How you doing today?
I'm fine, Mike. Thank you.
Good. As you know, duck hunting season is upon us, and I was sitting in the blind this weekend, and I noticed that the, at least in our area down Southwest Pass, that parasite that has been infecting the roseau canes all along our marshes and whatnot. I just wanted to know if there's any kind of plan of action or if there's anything in motion regarding any kind of answer to this problem.
Well, Mike, we are working on it. In fact, recently I had a meeting with folks from the Department of Agriculture, folks from LSU, and the Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries, and we're trying to work with our federal partners to come up with some money and quickly study and come up with a plan of action. There is no doubt that this is a significant problem, and if we lose the roseau cane, then we think that we're very vulnerable to coastal erosion, especially from the next storm or from just typical tidal action or river action. And we know that it's a big issue. We don't have the answers yet. This came from, we think it came from Japan, and we're trying to make sure that it doesn't get into sugar cane and some other agricultural products, but we know it's a big enough problem in the roseau cane, and so we are working on it. I don't have an update for you, but I will try to bring that to the next radio program next month.
Patrick in Baton Rouge. Hello, Patrick. You're on the air with Governor Edwards.
Hey, Governor Edwards. I had a question about the Senate bill. I know you said earlier you may not have the answer, but whenever I looked at it, it looked like it might penalize grad students and not letting them be able to deduct tuition and all that kind of stuff. Is there anything the state can do if that were to happen? I know.
Well, and Patrick, that was certainly featured in the Baton Rouge Advocate today, I believe. The impact that that bill would have if enacted as it currently reads on graduate students who get tuition deferrals and that sort of thing that would count as income. And so their tax bill would go up, I think, in the example they used today, from $1,500 to around $6,500 for graduate students who, as you know, don't make much money. But I've had the opportunity to talk to higher education officials across Louisiana. Most recently, King Alexander of LSU, they really fear the legislation that's pending in Congress now as it relates not just to grad students, but also to the ability of the Tiger Athletic Foundation to be successful in getting people to make those donations because of the difference in tax treatment that those donations will receive going forward. And then I had a chance encounter with one of the higher education officials at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville on Saturday night. And that's what that individual relayed to me was a big concern as well. So hopefully the Senate is going to be looking into all of this and make sure that they don't have adverse consequences that are more costly than they anticipate. Obviously, we would hate to see graduate students unable to complete and the course of study that they're in, or that we don't attract graduate students in the numbers that are needed going forward.
Peter in Baton Rouge. Thank you, Patrick. Peter, you're on the air with Governor Edwards.
Hi, Governor. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Peter.
So early in the show, you mentioned your disappointment with the voter turnout in state in past elections, and I was curious what ideas have been floated around about increasing voter turnout.
What about increasing voter turnout? Is there any way to stimulate people to get to the polls?
Well, I mean, certainly you have the freedom to vote and you have the freedom not to vote. And so people are going to have to make that decision. But when you see the campaigns that are out working so hard and spending so much money on advertisements, whether it be direct mail, TV, radio, internet, you name it, and to have all of the newspapers and radio programs and TV programs engage in the news, you would hope that people would want to go out and exercise their right to vote. One of the things that we did is we reduced the number of days on which elections can be held to try to concentrate the voter turnout in the fewer election dates that we have going forward. That doesn't seem to have helped very much, and so you know, I'm willing to look at proposals out there to see what we can do to make sure that individuals know when elections are taking place and try to increase turnout. But, Jim, especially when you look at the opportunities you have to early vote, and you can early vote for 8 days.
Right.
I think it's or I'm sorry, 7 days. I think it's Monday through Friday with a Saturday on either side. So it's 7 days of early voting, in addition to voting by mail, in addition to voting on election day. And so it's more convenient than it has ever been, and yet the turnout seems to be getting lower. So, you know, if Tom Shedler has any ideas, and of course Tom and I talk all the time, I'm happy to engage with him to see what we can do to increase turnout.
Maybe the tone of campaigns is that some people say that turns voters off.
It may have, but I don't know how that would have happened, for example, in the treasurer's race. It didn't seem like
that. No, there wasn't much talking at all.
And so I don't know. Maybe there's just too much apathy out there. I'm not sure.
Rizwan in Baton Rouge. Hi, Rizwan. You're on with Governor John Bel Edwards.
Hello, Governor. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much.
I want to have to say happy Thanksgiving
to
you and your family, and also Jim and his family.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rizwan. Same to you.
Yeah. I have a question that goes into the little bit of a futuristic thinking. You know, the Louisiana is pretty much dependent on fossil fuel. And how do you see it in the future? I just recently saw the news that you will be hopefully exporting some LNG to Poland and perhaps other European countries.
Well, Rizwan, thank you for the question. And certainly fossil fuels remain very important to Louisiana. We are diversifying our economy and our sources of revenue, and that's a very good thing. You know, for example, in the early 80s when we had a crash, oil-related revenue accounted for 42% of the budget of the state of Louisiana. Today it's less than 6%. And so I was very happy to see that oil is actually increased today to almost $58 a barrel, which is a significant improvement of where it was. It still needs to climb a little bit in order to get the money off the sidelines. But natural gas is going to be with us for a long time, and Louisiana has a strategic advantage over the rest of the country and most of the world when it comes to natural gas.
Some lines are open. If you'd like to join the conversation, you have an opportunity to talk with the governor in our final segment, 877-217-5757. We're back after this brief pause across the state. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Ask the Governor. Michelle Southern producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Still time to get in, and before we take some more callers, and there are some waiting in line, according to today's story in the Advocate on the front page of the Metro section from Melinda DeLotte of the Associated Press, Governor Edwards intends to sidestep lawmakers to enact a $15.4 billion Medicaid managed care deal. How will this work?
Well, we have Medicaid in Louisiana that is administered by five managed care organizations. These are insurance companies, and there were contracts in existence when I became governor. I think they terminate on January the 31st of next year. Well, the fact of the matter is Louisiana doesn't have the staff to revert to a fee-for-service model, which is what we had before. But it would be hundreds and hundreds of workers we'd have to hire. But we also don't have federal approvals or agreements with the health care providers in order to go back to fee-for-service. And I don't think anybody in the legislature really intended that we go back to fee-for-service. And there were some questions, and we certainly answered all of them. But at the end of the day, in order to keep the Medicaid program in place and operating so that the most vulnerable among us can get access to quality health care, this is the best route forward.
Diane in Baton Rouge. Hello, Diane. You're on the air with Governor Edwards. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Hello?
Yes, you're
Hi,
on
Diane.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question has to do with the NERM program with the elderly care. My mom is severely disabled, and I'm having so many problems trying to get services for her. We're told that she does not qualify for the NERM program. What can be done to enhance the care for people who are totally dependent, such as my mom.
And Diane, I need you to stay on the line and talk to Micah. I did not hear the name of, I mean, you said it. I didn't understand the name of the program that she's participating in. But I will get someone from the Department of Health, I would assume, is going to be over that program to get back in touch with you and talk to you about it. Obviously, you know, one of the things that I say often and have said for years, a civilized society is measured by how it treats its old, its young, and those who otherwise can't take care of themselves. And I believe that we have an obligation to those most vulnerable citizens, including the elderly. And so we will be certainly taking a look at that. And we're looking at ways to make sure that we are providing better services in Louisiana and services where individuals want to receive them, whether they're in a nursing home or at a community-based setting or home. We're looking at all of those options. And, of course, when you have fiscal constraints, you can't always do what you might want. But please give your information to Micah, and we will get back in touch with you with more information about that particular program.
Joyce in New Orleans. Joyce, good afternoon. You're on with Governor Edwards.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Joyce.
Governor Edwards, I was wondering what your impressions were of automatic runoff voting. My thoughts are that with lower voter turnout and the cost of voting and setting up all these elections, that maybe we could save some money and get more people to the polls. I was wondering what your opinion is on that.
You know, I'm actually open to it. I have voted that way in the past, it seems to me, in Louisiana. When I was in the Army and I would vote by mail, we would rank order the candidates. At least we did this for a period of time. And so you would cast your vote for your number one person, but if they didn't make the runoff, they would register your vote for the next highest candidate who did make the runoff. And you can actually resolve it all in one time, whether or not someone gets 50% plus one of the vote. And I think there are some other states who've gone to this model, and that would be something I would be very interested in having a conversation with legislative leadership, but also with Secretary of State Tom Shetler.
Bobby in New Orleans. Hello, Bobby.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Governor.
Hi, Bobby.
How are you doing today?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, great. We know your whole family from way, way back. We go way back. But anyway, I'm one of the children of the family who knows your family all mega fresh age. But my questions, I have four questions.
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to get through all four, but go ahead. Go ahead.
We're going to have dispensaries right here up in New Orleans, dispensaries for medical marijuana.
Well, we're going to have 10 across the state, and the Board of Pharmacy is going to, in fact, I think they have promulgated the rules for how they're going to select those 10 going forward, and they're going to make sure that there's at least one dispensary in every region of the state. How many of those are going to be in the New Orleans area, I'm not sure, but there will be at least one in the New Orleans area once this gets up and running, which should be very soon.
Thank you, Bobby. Nell in Covington. Hello, Nell. You're on the air with the governor.
Hi. Thank you so much for listening to this issue. I am calling because my husband and I are reaching retirement age, and we, like most of people in Louisiana, would prefer to age at home. And Louisiana has a terrible record of supporting that, even though it would save our state budget quite a bit, as I understand. So I was hoping that you could comment on that. What comfort can you give me that I'm not going to end up in a nursing home?
Well, first of all, I want you to end up wherever you want to be and wherever your circumstances dictate that you should be. And with respect to the issue of how we allocate resources among nursing home and other options, obviously this is a very difficult subject. As to whether we save money by other options, and I don't know whether you were referring to long-term managed care in our nursing homes, which you know, I think the jury is out as whether you save money in the long term, but certainly in the short term, when you make the transition, there is a cost increase because there's some period of time when you're paying both fee-for-service and the MCOs as you make that transition. With respect to the money that we allocate to nursing homes, I would remind you that the state of Louisiana, the voters, approved a constitutional amendment a few years ago. that impacts the rates that we have to play. That we have to pay nursing homes, and you know, as to whether we are overcompensating our nursing homes, you know, I'm not so sure. I've seen where we may have the fourth lowest rates for nursing homes in the country. And they provide a very valuable service, and there are obviously a lot of people who do think that they need to be and want to be in a nursing home as well. But I do believe that to the extent that we can, we need to make more at-home and community-based options available to individuals who want that, because I know that we have an extensive waiting list today. And quite honestly, when you are fiscally constrained the way that we have been for a number of years, it's very difficult to do all of the things at one time that you might want to do, and it does depend a lot on the amount of money, the resources, the revenue that you have. This is something we're going to keep taking a look at. And by the way, I was delighted to see the other day, or happy to see, I should say, that a number of our nursing homes in Louisiana are actually improving significantly in the quality of the care that they are dispensing, and that's being recognized by some folks around the country as well.
Governor, it seems each day there's a story about a prominent man, whether it's in entertainment or politics, behaving badly. Your thoughts about these sordid allegations that seem to come fast and furious every day now?
Well, look, this is tough. It seems like every time you turn on the TV, somebody else new is involved, and but the common denominator, because it cuts across entertainers,
journalists.
It cuts across journalists, it cuts across politicians and the business world. But the common denominator seems to be a man who is in some position of authority or power, prestige, something like that, and who has contact with females, and you know, it's heartbreaking to see all this happen, and I can't help but think about all of the victims out there and who just want to go to work, learn a trade, and pursue a profession that they like, and they're subjected to all of this, and you know, it's really sad. I'm hopeful that this discussion, this conversation that we're having across the country today, is going to produce some real results in terms of HR departments around the country, both in government and in the civilian sector, that have good policies in place, where females feel empowered to actually take advantage of them, of those policies, and that we can make sure that people can go to work without having to be fearful that there's going to be some unwanted advance or some sort of harassment or offensive touching. That's just awful. And when I think about that, as it relates to my two daughters especially, nobody wants that for their children. So hopefully we're gonna get to a better place in our society. But right now it's just incredibly painful.
Does this surprise you?
I guess I'm surprised by the sheer number of events and some of the figures too. You know, all I know about Charlie Rose, for example, is I thought he was an excellent interviewer, mm-hmm. and he seemed so mild mannered and soft spoken and deliberate that I assumed that that's who he was as a person. And to see those credible allegations, in fact, he's admitted to much of the behavior that's been alleged, it just goes to tell you that you really don't know individuals, and you really can't get to know them through the television, for example.
Or the radio.
Or the radio, yes, sir.
Well, we unfortunately won't be able to get to all of you today, but the governor will be back again next month for his final show of 2017, and we wish you well on Thanksgiving.
Thank you, and everyone, please be careful. There's a lot of traffic out there, and have a great Thanksgiving with your family, and I'm certainly thankful to God for all the blessings in my life and that we enjoy here in Louisiana.
Well, until the next program, for Governor John Bel Edwards and Michelle Southern, I'm Jim Inkster. We thank you for listening. Hope you have a great holiday, and we'll be back before Christmas. But be safe and stay tuned.